couldn't get a muskie. Tough fight for show. Heard the roar of the crowd. He could picture the scene. Put his ear to the wall. Like a distant scream. Saw one big fish. Up live scope from a secondhand stall. Didn't know how to use it, but he knew for sure that one live scope felt good in his boat. Didn't take long to understand. Just one live scope pointed way down low was a one-way ticket, only one way. So he started scoping, he's never gonna stop. Gotta keep on scoping, someday's gonna make it to the top. To be a live scope hero. Be a live scope hero. Live scope hero.
Folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Engineer Jay.
Canadian Steve.
Well, my goodness, guys, if it sounds funny yet again, I apologize. Jay's playing engineer. Usually I'm the one sitting in the studio and Jay's on the old phone there, but I don't have headphones because I had to pack everything else I own, Jay. So it has been.
For all those wondering, Steve, you're on location. You're in wonderful, glorious Canada up by Eagle Lake right now.
I'm up here roaming around. Actually, of all things, Jay, it was awesome. Just ran into a podcaster on the docks. It was a hoot. So I didn't even tell you that when I called you. So I was like,
where he didn't expect you to be there. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And we're talking and
very cool.
To have fun with that, which is always neat. And there's a horse fly in my truck. Hold on. Broadcasting live from
get
the
him,
Muskie
get
Shopmobile.
Him.
Got him. Dead.
Okay, good deal.
I don't need another one of those bites. Folks, if you've never been to Canada, it's buggy. Jay,
mosquitoes and flies and everything.
So, you know, my good buddy Mike's up fishing with me, right? And we're just hanging loose. And last night, I kind of pulled my ear back. I was like, how bad is this bite? And I saw the look on his face. He was like, whoa! Like, out on the boat, and something latched right behind the ear, Jay. It feels like there is, like, a goiter on my skull. It is amazing. So that is the Canadian indoctrination, though. You know what I'm saying?
Brutal. You got to start somewhere, right?
That is just how it goes.
Yeah.
What do you do? But
I don't know.
Everybody's going, what's going on right now? So Coop and Danny got the podcast done. So I'm going to put that up. So if you're looking for the Canadian report, that it's just craziness. Everybody's running and gunning so hard, Jay. And the reason why everybody's having difficulties, yesterday we had a storm that came through that was about ridiculous.
I saw it come 3 hours out, and I texted you just in case.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have internet on the water. I'm like, hey, they're saying you're supposed to get walloped at 6 p.m., and sure enough, tell me about it. I didn't know much about it.
It was actually funny because I was standing at, like, you know, kind of like watching the weather. It's because interesting, right? And you're seeing that wall, so it's like the black storm. There's another horse fly. No, that's not a horse fly. But die. Die. God damn you. Got him.
It's a Spanish barn swallow. They're crazy up there, too.
Listen, you know that little Steve Paul signature hat at the Muskie shop? It is a heck of a fly whacker.
There you go.
Anyway, so I'm out in front of the cabin, and it's coming straight at the cabin, right? And I was like, how cool, because you're seeing, like, that big front, and it's neat, and it's all crazy. And
it's so pretty.
Yeah, right. And you see the wall of water going down. It's raining. Then we hit a gust, and I have a pile of shield rods on the deck, and we have, like, a thing for, you know, if you're going to be in Canada, if there's this many bugs, this is the time to rip lung darts, right? I don't advocate it, but this is when you rip your darts. you know, keep them out of your face. You could, like one of the really cool podcasters brought a little dragonfly thing, Jay.
What's that?
Yeah, the thing you clip on your hat looks like a dragonfly.
Oh, that keeps the bugs away. Get it. Kind of like a scare clown, but different.
It's very like a scare clown. You could wear that or you could rip darts. So I'm ripping darts, right? So we got like a cigarette can on the thing, bunch of shield rods, and some like Adirondack chairs. Jay, that thing hit and it literally picked everything on the porch and threw it like 20 feet.
That's why you bring extras of everything to Canada, right?
It was gnarly. Absolutely gnarly. I was like, okay, we are dealing with something here. So yeah, that was crazy. But what I was getting at, everyone's schedule, if you haven't noticed, it's like, whoa, schedule is crazy, right? Here is the flat out deal. I've never seen it as intense in Canada. Danny Herbeck's been talking about, Steve was talking about a while ago, right? Mm-hmm. It is on moon, right? Flat out. I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, the majors play just a critical role in success.
Not critical. It is it.
Wow.
Right? So it's 6:30. It is drizzling right now, right? It is cloudy and drizzly, and I'm doing the podcast. Because once the major wrap, we hit really good stuff, doing the same thing that caught fish, that was moving fish. Can't even catch a hammer handle northern.
Okay.
Right? But I was like, made the pivot where, what am I doing? You know, just got here. I've been up for a little bit. I had to go and fish with old Steve Areno there. Weird aside, I did get to hang out when went on the water with Glenn from 54 or Bust. So that was fun.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, let me tell another story there.
Yeah.
So I love Steve Herbeck, like the weird abusive uncle that he is. And we're out there and Steve actually, he was supposed to come to the bash, but he actually fractured. I don't know if it's his clavicle or what. He actually fell. He was going for a morning walk, trying to get back in shape. Right. He's been dealing with some health issues. He's trying to do all the right things, going out on a walk and tripped over a root. And face plants, right? Great. And so we're in the boat and Glenn wanted to hook up and fish. Steve wanted us to hook up, meet one another. We're like, oh, that'd be fun. Right. And so we go out, we're hitting the water and we're out. Herbeck's like, throw this, Glenn, throw this. Wham, 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 wham. Right. We're doing it. Glenn sticks a pretty nice fish. Whack. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Get it in the net, pop it out real easy. We go ahead. I think he stuck another one. I can't recall the order of things, right? And then, long story short, we're just using the small pliers that are on the boat. And then we realize I stick a nice one, a pretty good little shovely heady kind of guy, right? And it eats it. Now, we have no release tools. So, of all the things I tell everybody about what not to do, freaking Steve Herbeck has, it's me, Glenn McDonough, and Steve Herbeck, right? We have a pair of Rapalus split ring pliers in the boat, Jay. That's it.
Whose boat were you in?
Herbie's.
Herbie's boat.
The man probably he lost his grab it over the boat. He lost, when we need it, right? When we need these things. Well, I had one. Right?
Yeah.
So we've got Rapalus, you know, the long, they're like needle nose length, but they're the Rapalus split ring pliers, right? That's what we have. And we have a few.
Theoretically, they could get the job done, but they're not.
No, they're for split rings, Jay.
I know.
So you've got me and Glenn, and he's like, it was funny because, and I'll admit, I tell everybody like it is, you know, not fished with him before, not really, you know, had any substantive time or anything. And so I'm kind of just me and I, you know, whatever it, you know, I get nervous if I'm fishing with other people that are good anglers, right? Just on, cause I know what I'm watching and I assume they're watching. Does that make sense? Like that's my awkward, how my awkward nature of, so I get in the net and I'm going to get the thing and I'm trying to get it. He's like, what's going on? And I was like, he just kind of dips in because he knows I'm struggling. He's like, well, let me help. And then he realizes this thing's hooked down the throat, right? So I'm like kind of weirded out. It's like, how are we going to get this out with a pair of split ring pliers? So anyway, he grabs into this thing, gets up under it. I'm trying to come across the other way, right? So we got its mouth open with pliers that are so short that you're now in the tooth zone. And he just got slashed, Jay. Just takes one right there on the thumb. And it was funny. I believe that that is his first hospital trip for a muskie. He won't be the last, but his first hospital trip for a muskie. So,
oh boy.
And, you know, we're asking Herbeck. So you can imagine, we don't have proper release tools, right, Jay?
Yeah.
So in some random, ridiculously bad thought, the man that doesn't have the release tool surely has medical equipment on the boat. No.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess I saw a picture. It looked like he was holding an ice cream cone, but then I zoomed in a little bit. I'm like, he got hurt. Yeah.
Wrapping
him
up
with, wrapped it with.
Wrapping up with an old A&W wrapper.
You're standing in the back going, anyone need any hooks changed? Because I got the split ring pliers.
The funny thing about that is, one, you know how they always have, like, split ring pliers always have the little rubber grips on them and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one side of that was also missing. So they weren't even like, it was so slippery. It was awful.
Oh, we're going to have to set up Herbie with some new tools.
Yes, the musk.
Flat out.
He'll have it. Well, it'll be there any minute now. But don't worry. Herbie knows what he's doing. But he just went out there. He just lost everything. Had he told me, I have piles of that crap in the old Steve Paul mobile. But, you know, yep, that was funny. But anyway. I got off on a big tangent there, but what is happening is schedules are so crazy because it is 100% on those majors. So this morning I'm on the water at 4:25, right? Trying to get on spots, and Jay, it wasn't the sunrise. I mean, you have kind of that gloaming after the sun comes up and everything of that nature. It was like, got a big one. We had a big fish in the net, in the boat, landed a couple other really nice ones, right? And just like the window shut completely. The same thing. And you look at it, it's me, Herbie, and Glenn.
How long did that last? How long did it, it's like the major hit at a certain time. It was like 20 minutes or?
No, that you better, during the major. And it's one of those weird things where it's kind of like, Eagle, some of the stuff I'm hitting, it seems like towards the end of the major is better, but the beginning, you know, the beginning seems to be pretty substantive. But it's so strange because I have my love-hate relationship with Moonface, and this is kind of undeniable, right? It's one of those things because, like, Dr. Bob and I will sit there and just absolutely go, well, whatever, this is garbage, right? You know, you have your moments, or there's this, or there's that, or what's happening. And it's just the case. It is simply seeing it is believing it kind of deal. So I would recommend, if you're out there hitting it, really consider that. Same thing happened again. I was saying with Glenn and Steve there. It's like hitting amazing stuff. You know, Steve Herbeck's not lacking Eagle Lake knowledge, Jay. That's not something he's not struggling with that, you know?
Yeah.
He knows where to be and when to be there, and he kind of...
Well, that, and it's, not to interrupt, but that was really cool that Glenn, does he live, I'm just envisioning this, I know he lives in Canada, but he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go, hey, honey, I'm going to go to, you know, Eagle Lake.
It's just, Jay, it's the same thing. It's just like, in a shocking twist, all the muskie anglers in Wisconsin live above Highway 10 for the most part. Like the ones,
right.
Not all of them, but you get what I'm saying. Like, oh, this, you know, Booker and this guy and that guy. And then, you know, have your, it's Kenora or Dryden up here. So everybody kind of lives in that area. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, yeah, that was just, I was dying laughing. I'm like, this is so, just no other, there's no nice way to put it other than shit show, Jay.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, the guy, he's not hurt bad. It was just they stitched him up or whatever. He didn't have a hook in him. It was from a tooth.
Gonna lose his arm. So.
Gotta watch that infection.
That's what they're saying. Actually, you said, that's funny you said that, because I've been there. No, he's fine. I've been there where I had a tooth lodged in my thumb that I couldn't get out. And then you were talking about a guy, do you know, in the Northwoods where it's they're on antibiotics, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. So yeah, wash yourselves, people.
Yeah. Keep it clean. Keep that, the wound clean.
That's
why there's bacteria in there that can mess you up.
Yeah. That's why we're introducing today JSE hand soap.
That's a great product. As a matter of fact, I was just going to talk about that.
I've got
an infomercial in mind.
You're just in the lab for Dr. J's. We'll work on this, folks. Sorry. It's freaking keep it sanitary with JSE. No, it's crazy, man. I absolutely kind of get befuddled when it's like this, where, you know, there's always a shot. You got to be hucking, you got to be chucking. But when you're hitting some of your best stuff, right, you're hitting things that are just so juicy and conditions are so juicy. Again, you dream of low-hanging, drizzly Canadian skies in the summer, sure. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going, why are they not coming unglued the entire time? Right?
Yeah, outside the majors, right. Yeah.
We should be dodging them like those Asian carp.
Huh.
Right, you should be. Oh no! Another muskie jumped in the boat. Watch out! They're coming unhinged. But no, it's interesting. So, fortunately, the app is accurate. So we're relying on that. I actually watched Herbie pull it up, and I know Danny's living and dying by it.
Herbie can operate a phone
if you do it for him.
Okay, I got you.
You got to do it for him. But
and tell me, what were the patterns? I mean, what kind of, you know, presentation were you guys throwing, chucking out there when things were on fire?
So typically, you know, I always, you'll never believe this. Okay. I do throw some blades. It is summer in Canada, okay? There's a month and a half per year I'll throw some blades. Titan, no weight in it, is producing because you have... One thing I'll say is this, really good year on cabbage. I noticed that in Wisconsin as well, that the grass is, you know, your cabbage is good and thick and you got a lot of height to it. So it is kind of sloppy, right? So Titan Unweighted has been producing. The Steve's meat grinder's been great. There's a thing Dawn from Figure Eight made me as far as some blades that is working. I watched, Glenn caught a nice fish when we were out there on, what is it, Frenzy is working. I guess they got something with a silicone skirt, right? And it's kind of, it's just a rubber core skirt. And that's kind of in the same vein of what Dawn does there at Figure Eight. They make all their stuff out of silicone. So that was kind of funny that was noticeably working. Just a different puff to it, you know, especially when you see, you'd think these Canadian fish, you go, oh, it's they don't see as much pressure or something like that. Well, you know, cabins are full and there's, you know, there's butts in seats all the time up here, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And especially, you know, you don't want to call it high pressure, but like in the woods, that's a different ball game. You know, you have different levels of pressure up here, but these fish are seeing baits and they're seeing intelligent pressure. And I thought that was kind of neat seeing these silicone skirted bucktails making a difference. Right. That stuff's working on the outside edge or when I have clearance over top of weeds, that freaking Mustang, Jay, but let me put it this way. Of all that, you know, I had a Plano, guys. If you have seen the Mustang, and Jay just put out a video, swim bait video we did there. I had a Plano flat of those baits. And we took them from iCast and then brought them up to the Muskie Shop Bash, right? And everybody's checking them out and getting to see some of the collar stuff. And the bash was phenomenal this year, as we said last week. And,
yeah.
You know, we're just hanging loose. But, I mean, it's ridiculous having to put them down because the problem is this. Is like, yeah, we're catching muskies on it, but we're, like, just getting hammered on smallmouth, getting hammered on big pike. Had, you know... One of the biggest northerns I've seen in a while. And I was like, oh my goodness, hold off. Like I we're catching on them. I'm trying to save them. So I'm not kind of grinding on them throughout the day because they are rubber baits and they hold up, but they're getting enough eats that I'm like, I only have just a handful is what I'm getting at. Right.
They're not. Right. Oh yeah. I mean, I fished with you when we were filming, we fished a little bit and, I was throwing that Mustang that we got two or three on.
Yeah.
One was a Pike, but yeah. I mean, it swallowed it.
Yeah.
Still functional. Still I know. Holding up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're catching.
Give a thumbs up on the durability. Well, that's important too.
It's killing me because for when I made the thing, one of these days, this winter, we'll just do a whole bait building episode or something to explain all the stuff. But, you know, it's not like when I get these and I'm doing the final stages of testing, like I don't have a bunch of them until they're actually out. Right. So we have these last samples. There's like, okay, this is what your final product will look like. And you have basically one of each color. And I'm like, oh my God. So that's, I'm ready to.
Yeah.
Have
and you got
some
key people you want to get them to, too. You know, so, you know, get the hype going. It's just like, hey, that thing's for real. I love it.
No, it's good. I would say this. I've not seen bigger being better. Right. Not yet. And I think we got to warm up here over the next couple of weeks because water temps are really not that hot. Seeing 69 to 70. I'm not seeing the top water action. Uh-huh. I had one, and it was kind of one of those gross moments. Here comes the wall of water, right? And it looked you could have put a squirrel on a surfboard on top of it, kind of deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cue the freaking wipeout. It was a freaking big push, and just did kind of that blaze off right by the boat deal. And you're like, that wasn't ready, you know, just not ready. So need some surface temperatures is what I'm thinking. That's what that looks like.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, the Cabbage Dragons are relating to cabbage on the majors. And
well, not the cabbage. Well, I should say this.
Little Rock too?
No, it's got to be combo.
Okay.
For the night, actually, let me think, because I've been grinding, folks. Been up since 4.
yeah, but you took a nap, didn't you?
Barely.
Oh, boy.
It's a Monday. You know how my phone rings. It's like freaking ring, 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 ring.
I've seen it, folks. It's not pretty.
It's not pretty. But anyway, I'm thinking just to make sure. No, I have not seen one come out of a pure cabbage situation yet.
Okay.
It's been complexes, been main lake structure. So not really seeing that. Oh, let's go in this little tucked away bay stuff.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
And what's odd is, and I think that weather front that moved here, I'm actually like, cause I'm always we're always checking mid shallow and deep, right? So each day I'm not just going out and doing what I did yesterday. I am checking those shallow weed beds and I'm checking, you know, your cup base and things of that nature and checking them during the major to see patterning wise. But what I'm trying to do, probably the most important thing I'm trying to do is with that bite window being so tight, is ensuring A, that I'm on the boat and prepped before it, the deck of the boat's clean, and do I have a game plan of where I'm going? So I know I'm going to go to, say, you got 2 hours, right? At best. What are my four best, right? What way is the wind going? What's the weather doing? Conceptually in my head, I better have a game plan, and I better have four lined up and one or two places I'm going to stop along the way to experiment. So it is like
time's real critical.
It is.
Yeah, if spot, not spot, but if area 3 is a 10-minute boat ride.
No, you better
dropping the ball there. Yeah, yeah.
You better be thinking about it where it's at, and it's Canada and it's big water. So it's like, okay, don't be, oh, we're going to gas up. Or no, it is like everything's in the boat. Everything's ready to go. Let's rock. We're doing it now. Right. That's the real thought. You know, not fooling with reels, not fooling with rods, not fooling with this or anything.
Yep.
Right? Everything's ready to go. The deck of the boat's clean. And we're ready to go. Where for me, I'm going, you know, what's happening with the wind? Wind always plays here, right? Wind always plays. So what is the wind blowing into? Is it blowing out of certain things, which is usually a net negative? And I say that one thing I have noticed flat out is you would think that we would be pulling fish on like weed blown rock and weed complexes, because that's the key to what I'm doing right now. I want slightly deep weeds with, you know, obviously when you get on the edge, you're going to have some shallow top, right? But I'm looking for cabbage that extends out and has depth to it near rock. So your tiniest little, here's this tiny little weed pocket on a rock bar, or here's a weed pocket that extends out on a rock shelf, right? With intermingled boulders and things of that nature in there, right? So I'm looking for that, thinking about that. And what I've noticed, it's not the ones that are wind blown. It's the ones that are on the leeward side. They're protected. Okay. So that's kind of the biggest thing of sitting here going, when I talk about, oh, let's conceptualize what we're doing. Well, I've noticed now where I'm going, okay, if I hit four or five really good things during that, and we're going, okay, we tag two. I'm also paying attention to how the wind's playing with that area.
Are you getting sustained winds out of the same direction for 2 days in a row, or is it all over the map and it's fairly
light? It's not
light,
like sustained, like blowing hard or anything, but it's, you know, you had that storm go through and it's still coming, right? Still wind and still motion, but that flat slack water. So if I can find rock weed combo with slack water on the lee side of stuff, that's where I'm finding fish.
Yeah. Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Where got it pinned, yeah.
Yeah, well, where a lot of things is, you know, it took, what is it, freaking Monday, you know, took a minute, you know, but paying, it's so key where right now I feel, I mean, you know, you always try to be confident, but I feel pretty dang confident in going, this, and this is what I'm going to hit, right?
Well, you're not one to not share information, and you got a great group of people up there, and everybody's, you know, on the same page. You all want to do well, so you guys are sharing information with Steve Herbeck and Danny Herbeck.
Yeah, well,
and forget about it. That's cool.
Good. It's good to have good friends.
Yeah, you're gonna have a good week. Well, you're gonna have a good. I don't even know how long you're up there. It's a while, but you're gonna get some monsters
hanging loose.
You will.
I'll probably eat some lobster too. They have cheap lobster up here, Jay. How did they get lobster in
Canada? My goodness.
Yeah, no. Huh? What are you going to do? What do you do with yourself? That's a little secret here, Jay.
The cool thing is you're fishing, concentrating on the majors, so that means you actually get time to relax.
No.
Get some food, get a little bit of rest, and then go out and pound.
I wish. Nah, we're getting it in there. It's just so wacky. That's what I'm saying about scheduling, because it's like, you know, you're up and you're trying to take a cat nap and a lot of cat napping, and you don't want to miss sunset no matter what, whether it lines up. You know, that I think that's a fool's errand to go, oh, well, we're just not going to fish sunset in Canada. I think that's probably a poor choice.
I would tend to think that way.
You know, yeah, sure. Yeah, they're definitely on the majors, but however, you know, if one was going to screw up and it was going to be a good one, it would be kind of when things are warming up.
Don't overlook the low light periods, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's midsummer. It's cool.
Other than that.
Is it a little bit cooler than it was last year? Any average year, I should say. You know, water temp 69, 70. They should be 72, 73. Yeah. Okay.
The truck says 69 right now.
Okay.
It also says I have 143 miles of range. Does that matter?
Only if you use gas.
Okay, check. Speaking of, I've been burning.
You
a
did
lot
not
drive.
You did not drive up there with an EV.
In the boat. Get the text from Jody Michael there. Hey, there, credit card boy.
Steve's like, don't talk about batteries to me, okay?
Don't worry about that, frickin' just burning the fuel. But that's part of that experience. What's going on at the shop there, Chief?
Nothing.
No,
lots is going on. Stuff coming in. You know, got some cool stuff in today. Got some more Red October, and you know the usual suspects. So chipping away.
You got that? Yeah. What is this? The D-Ski stuff. I'm looking on my phone here.
I think I put the Joyride on today on YouTube. Maybe it was today. That's a neat bait. I don't know if you got a chance to see it.
I saw one. I didn't get to.
It's a firm rubber. It's not a soft rubber bait, right?
So it's got flat one up front.
Yeah, it's very unusual, and the thing has a very slow rise to it. So it's like, okay, it's a rubber bait that's floats. Interesting. Uh-huh. Work it kind of Suic like, kind of dive rise, and it kind of like darts to the side a little bit,
huh?
In a real exaggerated downward pointing, and being not a soft plastic, that tail kind of just kind of jerks You get a little tap. So,
they're at the bash, and we're running through the store. I did just grab one. It is definitely feels like the composition of the plastic on that those baits are a different animal.
Tough stuff. Yeah, really rigid plastic. I think it durability factor could be high on that. Yeah, they look cool. We're getting some more in because they're flying that in the that tadpole he makes.
Tadpole.
Which is a completely different thing. That thing glides. Yeah, just like new. I don't know where it came from. I think Jim found that one. I think the guy, he's a Wisconsin small, you know, like
yeah. After
work kind of, I make baits kind of dude.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, check these out. You know, I got a website now. You can see them on there. And it's like, okay.
Yeah
bring absolutely. Some in. They look something different. So
it is definitely different. Looks cool.
We like them.
That is something I'm going to have to check out here shortly. So, well, other than that.
Not that you don't have enough baits to play with. And, you know, I'm sure you brought up. I know what you brought up there. You brought up the whole kitchen.
we're not going to talk about that.
Nope. Nobody wants to see your, nobody should be allowed to see your trolling cabinet, the cabinet of doom in the low.
Oh,
that thing's cool. That whole custom made, he's got this locker. You flip it up and it's like.
Hey,
that's
hey.
A lot of supernatural baits, baby. If you want to go trolling with Steve, he's got the bait ready to go.
I got a couple.
You probably won't even troll up there. That's the thing.
Oh, I don't? Oh, well, more on that later.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we actually, you know what? It's right now not, but I got that is something I was going to cover where what I want to do, and again, kind of tired, kind of running and gunning here, is my next experiment, right? Is it's you know, again, I wish I knew all the answers, but the question is this, are they moving up and into these areas during these majors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And retreating out to deeper structure outside of it, and will they eat then? You know, is that question of, are they there and we're throwing baits again, because these areas are so large. Where are they retreating to because the water temps are cooler? Are they ducking down? They kind of stay in mid-depth. So what I want to do is hit this and then kind of reapproach and do some trolling passes here.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's not something that people spend a tremendous amount of time doing here. You definitely need to know your map, you know, which most of these don't have a map. So you better know what's going on there to be safe in that front. So anyway, I'll tell you what we're really behind on, Jay.
Q&A.
So anyway, let's cover some of these. And guys, I swear to you, it's hard right now. It's hard. We're trying to do our best to keep up with everything. Anyway, Keith, two-parter. My dad and I are heading to Lake of the Woods for Iowa first week in September. We're staying in the, okay, we never fished around there, but heard, blah, 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 blah. So you're asking, he's asking about specific areas and structure. What I'd recommend on that one, okay, Keith, check out, make sure you give the listen, because Danny and Joe Cooper do the Canadian podcast, but Joe Cooper is a guide on Lake of the Woods, right? So,
and he's got a ton of information that'd be real helpful,
right? And these guys are getting straight to it, so I could tell you areas, but that's not gonna, I'm not over there right now. He also says, I recently gotten to make my own bucktails, which is a blast. You know, do I have a favorite color pattern or blade size and color for Lake of the Woods? Do I need monster bodies? He's been playing around with all kinds of rattles. Yet again, same answer there on that front, which is, there's no flat answer on what you need to have, right? And so whatever those guys are saying, Lake of the Woods is a bucktail kind of body of water, right? It's a shallow fishery, and you will see a change in their preference throughout the year, right? So, yes, you can pick up a lot of fish on Twitch baits. That's one thing when I go over and fish Lake of the Woods, Jay, that is so lost on a lot of people, is they just get dialed in where it's bucktails, in top water only, because that is primarily a shallow water fishery, right? Crankbaits, 8-inch jakes, shallow raiders. I haven't tried a slammer fatty, but I guarantee you it'd work, that kind of stuff. Where fish that weed edge, hit that, right? Hit it with your blades in top water, because, you know, that you can pick up fish that way, and then go to that rock point, either strap on something else real quick or have another rod ready to tick and click some of that rock stuff. right? Cool. And you're going to stand out from the pack, ripping minnow baits over there on the deeper weed edges, or if you can get it, if you have enough clearance. They're not seeing that all day long.
What do people like for generally, Lake of the Woods that time of the year, like pre-turnover? What color patterns? I mean, the water's a little dark, right? So are they using a lot of natural patterns like perch and walleye, your standard stuff, or are they using bright stuff?
There's, you know, from the guys I know that are fishing, and I don't want to contradict Joe if he said anything different, but a lot of chartreuse, right? And I know some guys that do a lot of sneaky squirrel stuff with like chartreuse, like a shark green combo, or they'll there's a Booker skirt that's like black with a little bit of green in it that seems to do something for them. Again, I'm not big on color, right? But you definitely want contrast. So with that tannic water, your purples and your blacks and that dark stuff is what I feel comfortable with. But, you know, Coop can get you dialed in more on that one. Mike, hey, guys, great podcast. I own a Trinx 400, and I have mixed opinions about this reel. It was giving me some issues in the past. What would you guys recommend as a good bait caster? I mostly shore fish around St. Clair and get out a little bit. Okay, so as far as this, you're asking about different reels. He asked about the Swivelo Genesis. If you're good at bait casting, you're comfortable with it, I wouldn't go like, boom, that's the reel to lay your hands on, right? Because with Swivelo, it's a great reel to really help offset casting deficiencies, right? And so that would be something I would kind of give a different look at, right? So the probably the best reel, Jay, I mean, I'm thinking like the Akuma, like the 400 Komodo or the 350 Komodo, right? Those are, I mean, they're just bulletproof. They're just bulletproof.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Trinx are really, really, that's a little surprising because you don't hear that kind of feedback too often on Trinx owners.
When you get a,
if you're shore fishing, you might have some sand issues with sand getting in there. I don't know what failure was giving you problems. It's rare.
You got a bunch of stuff there in St. Clair where it's actually smart to fish from. I know where he's at, right? And you say that. I mean, I huck Trinks and Akumas all the time. I've heard very little about Trinks being problematic, but it seems like if you get a bad one, it's problematic, right? They make tons of those, so you might just have had a bum one. But if you don't like a Trinks, check out the Akuma. Like I said, that 350, was it 356? It's a weird name or something like that. But they have the Komodo in different sizes. And so that's going to be the trick there, I think, to get you dialed in on something.
Yeah, like a 400 series. The last two numbers will tell you the gear ratio in Akuma. Uh-huh. Little trick. So like a 471, it's the big frame with a 7.1 gear.
All right.
Yeah, they got a lot of gear ratio options, more than Shimano. And yeah, they're real tough.
Yeah, nice.
A little bit less of an investment than the Trinx too, so that might be something to work out good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get here. Let's hit some more. Oh my goodness, Ethan Carter. If you had to throw three baits for the rest of your life, what would they be and why? Well, I can tell you what number one would be. Would be a willow leaf spinnerbait, right? There's nothing I can't do with that bait, period. Which is,
if you look at
like a Steve's meat grinder, that would be the reason why. High rod angle, I can actually burn it over cabbage. I can grind it. So, you know, a spinnerbait is so utilitarian, right? And it's so weird. It's like one of the most versatile baits there are, and people go, oh, it's a spinnerbait. It's stupid.
Yeah, they're for bass, blah, blah, blah.
Bass, I mean, That would be it. That would be, you could, if you had to take it down to one, that would be it, right? And period. So, I mean, for me, I'm obviously biased, but I would go, what can I live without, really? I got to have a crank, period. Jay, here's a question, because here's these hypotheticals, right? Is it the same bait class? Do I have to have the same bait? Because I would say a crane, right? But if you picked a crane, you might be down to just two baits after a while because of the durability. But I would go spinnerbait, a crane, and a kraken. There you go. Because I could put the different tails on a kraken. He didn't say he didn't say anything about modification tails, so I could get away with that.
Right. If you had a kraken, you could always turn it into a swimbait.
There you, there you go. Yep. I'm cheating a little bit. What about you, Jay? Your top three. If you had only three.
Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
Probably another Mustang.
I think you love that bait more than I do, which is hilarious.
It's cool. Mustang. Okay, utilitarian spinner. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I'll go with something different. I'll go with something like a MEPS Marabou single blade.
Yeah, that
would work. And I will go with, crankbait or jerkbait. I'm a dive rise guy. Get more action. You'll get more 24/7 results from a jerkbait than you will some crankbaits. Depends on how you fish. Yeah, okay, I'll go different. I'm going to go a 9-inch Suic or a Titan, something in that, because I'm a dive rise guy. So something in that range.
Speaking of dive rise, you've been freaking, are we getting any of the, any of Lee stuff in as far as the hard baits at any point?
Lee talking?
Yeah.
Oh, he's trying. Yeah. I talked to him the other day. Yeah. He's, we just got some more of his, ninjas in two sizes. That's that bucktail. With that, it's that non-blade bucktail with that inline crazy weed chomping super duper. It's a little bit lower, cool wake behind it, pulls water really. Yeah, that's a good bucktail option. It really is. And then we got his mini Boilermakers. We got refilled on those mini and mid Boilermakers. So yeah,
there you go.
I'm ripping fish on those on Today's Angler for years. Everybody knows about those. They're great. He said he's working on some hard baits that, he sent some pictures over. It's like, oh God, Lee. I said, your paint work is like right up there with Tom LeBeau's right now.
Yeah, he's getting
from that, Big Four. That is it's some serious quality.
they say emulation is the best flattery, but not in the muskie game. Come on. He sets the tone there across the board, so anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
Well, it's just killer. And I was talking about that the other day about Miller Perch, Jay, with somebody. Right? Remember Miller Perch from the JBO lineup?
It's a JBO picture, a color. Yeah.
Right. And everybody's like thinking that this is some, like Miller is this or Miller is that, or
like maybe it's named after Steve Miller's, first album or something.
No, it's just a guy that Joe knew, and you're like, no. And then everybody just totally runs with his stuff.
I met him. His son was in once when Joe was in. He's like, this is, Miller's son. Yeah. And he told me the whole story. And
whatever. Listen. If you're winning, they're copying you. It is what it is. It sucks.
If you're winning, they're copying you.
Isaac,
we're trying to.
Hey, guys. Love the podcast. Just a quick trolling question. I always find myself in the dilemma of what bait to use to create the best combination of depth and distance from the boat. He read the book. Good on you. I find myself trolling in 12 to 15 feet of water quite often and struggle to be confident with diving baits that only need to be out 30 to 40 feet back. Yet I feel like these baits have the profile I'm looking for. What's your average distance back? Watch some of the, obviously the stuff now. And then, guys, do we have a bunch of fish on film? Scuds, right? But trying to focus, really trying to help people catch stuff. If you watch that swim bait video and doing kind of what we do best here. But if you watch some of the older videos, there's a couple trolling videos, right? And those are short lines, 90% of them. So if a muskie's going to come up and eat it, don't be afraid of that thing being close to the boat, right? One thing somebody told me a long time ago that, and again, is it true? I don't know, but it makes me feel good, Jay, is that muskies will actually cue in on boat traffic coming through. They'll disrupt bait fish and capitalize on it so they're not spooked by the outboard per se. They're kind of numb to it. I've been there. I'm going, oh, is this so close to the boat? It's scary. It's too close to the boat. Mm-hmm. It's too close to the boat. And
it disperses bait fish and it causes a commotion.
Right. The shortest that I consistently run is in the like late fall, and I've got a certain pattern that I'll hit, and I will literally run 10 feet of line on a headlock. One of my favorite things to do, it's in clear water, right? And you actually get to watch the eat, which is amazing. So it's actually kind of crazy. You can't see the bait, but you get to see the fish come through with the bait, which is kind of spooky, like when they hit it. So Now, caveat, right? There's always a caveat here. There's always one thing or this thing or whatever. What I'll say is this, is if you're on water where fish seem to break off while you're casting a lot, like say you're coming in and they're breaking off on the cast, or they're just boat shy, and there's some bodies of water they simply are, you might need to readdress that, right? Now, taking that in consideration, the turnaround of that dynamic, right, is the turnaround of that dynamic for me is I'm being joined by the illustrious Mike. Anyway,
so, hi, Mike.
How we doing?
Boston Mike. Anyway, the dynamic of that, it often is that we need to use planer boards, right? So if they're spooking from the boat, I'm going to do the same pass, but I'm going to do it with boards, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be the real takeaway from that. And then something, we got on it for a second with that. I actually, Jay, you know about it. I'm kind of stoked about it. I don't think they're going to make hardly many at all, but there's a working project right now, Jay, involving trolling. You're aware of it, aren't you?
I'm drawing a blank right now. Give me a clue.
Well, with Mr. Duff.
Yes.
Have you not seen
Furry, it? The genius behind Supernatural Big Baits.
Have you not seen this thing?
Yeah, I saw that thing.
Did you? Yeah, he called me today. I was coming up with bad names. What's the worst names I could come up with this thing, right?
Like the Stevie?
No. Well,
okay, that's pretty bad.
Number one, let me give them to you. Not Pollock, Pollock. Right.
I get it. Okay.
Right. Ha ha ha. Duff Raider.
No. There it is. You just texted me that. Yeah, I know what you're talking
right.
about. Right.
The Duff Raider. Just
you got any more?
I do, but we can't say them publicly.
I gotcha. Yeah.
I thought the Duff Raider was funny. That wouldn't upset anybody. But no, that's going to be a fun one. I'm stoked about
Great
that.
Names that never took off.
Oh, did my one of my favorite hobbies, by the way.
Like the pretty kitten. I mean, musky fishermen would not be too excited if a lure was called the pretty kitten.
You're pitching that joke again.
Yeah.
Pitching that joke. Nah, I get it. We actually, Jay and I, what Jay's talking about, Jay had an idea for a podcast thing, which realistically was very funny if we could say all the horrific things that we came up with. And what are the worst bait names of all time, right?
And why they failed.
Right.
They're all fictitious, you know?
It's exactly. They're not
real. Yeah.
These are not PG-13 bait names, but stuff. Why didn't Fleet Farm carry my bait? Well, sir, it was so. Makes it tough, but no, we'll call it work. You know what? Just as I'll update you as it goes. Code name Duff Raider for right now. It has nothing to do with a depth raider, folks, but it's just funny. Duff Raider. Anyway, goodness, let's do one more here. I gotta. Okay, here's Daryl. Daryl, hey guys, I'm new to fishing safety pin style spinner baits. My question is, do muskies always go for the jig head or the skirt part of the bait, or do they sometimes attack the blades? Curious to know how these baits work with blades. Head skirt so far apart. Love the podcast. Yours. So, do you know how many fish I've hooked under the chin, Jay, on spinner baits?
How many?
A bunch. I've lost count. So, you'll notice it. You'll go, he's literally hooked under his chin. So what they'll do is they'll bypass the bottom and you'll just hook him right in his chin, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're no worse for wear, but that's how you can tell that they're hitting the blades. Obviously, if there's big hook teeth scratches on the blades, that's a pretty good indication. But when you get into that, it's something that happens. And a lot of times that has been when I'm just grinding the bottom, right? Really tough conditions or, you know, just things are just not clicking and I'm just slow rolling the heck out of stuff and I'll pop one. It'll be hooked under the chin, right? Like if you can imagine Muskie grabs a Steve's meat grinder, right? That big willow blade, what's that blade, Jay? Probably a 4-inch long blade, right?
Let's look at it. It's huge. It's in size 8.
Right. It's the biggest they make. And, well, not maybe, but it's the biggest, you know, you kind of pick up normally. Somebody makes probably a willow leaf blade like the size of a car. Don't get me wrong. But you'll notice they'll hit that thing and you'll have them on that front hook under the chin because they hit the blade, you set the hook, and it pins them right under that little yoke, that little V under their chin. Mm. You know, and, hey, if it's past the gill plate, I'll play that game. So, you know, he hit it. Mm. But you'll see that. Not all the time, but I've caught scuds of them that way. What we got? We can do another one here. We got time for a disappointing sunset, Jay. It'll be a beautiful Canadian sunset. It'll probably just be a disappointing. By Dan Mann. That's a sweet name, really. Yeah. Dan Mann.
Good lure name.
I'm a Dan Mann, man. Out of Flambeau Chain, Managed Waters, Eagle River, Plum, White Sand. Okay, so he's asking a big list of Wisconsin bodies of water. And to be honest with you, my friend, when it comes to like picking lakes just at rando, I'm going to pick based on conditions. So that's going to be kind of the hard thing for answering that question. So we'll bop here. Scott, what type of live scope should I buy? Is forward-facing sonar the same thing? Yes, forward-facing sonar and live scope are the same thing. You don't have to buy one. It depends on how you're fishing, what you're doing. Right now, what I'm doing, that thing's an afterthought. Doesn't even need to be turned on, right? Depends on how you want to fish and what you're doing. You know, if I was going to make a product recommendation, if you don't have a bunch of money, the Lowrance Eagle Eye, and if you're willing to spend, well, let me back it up and say this. Buy the biggest screen you can afford when it comes to forward-facing sonar. That's it. Live scope and forward-facing sonar are one and the same, right? FFS, however you want to phrase it, buy the biggest screen. It is so hard to tell what's going on because you need to look at scale. You need to understand what's happening. So a big screen is probably the most important thing. I've been personally, and I'm not knocking anything, I've been none too impressed with what I've seen of the Hummingbird units, right? I believe Danny's rocking one, so I could ask him. And I haven't thought about it, but that'd be an interesting question because the live scope, you know, I run Garmin. Lowrance is a narrower beam, so why would I go get that? And the Hummingbird, you know, when they first rolled that out, it wasn't the greatest product launch, right? It was problematic, so maybe they got that worked out, and I probably need to. I've probably formulated my opinion on old information regarding their forward-facing sonar, but I also haven't crawled into it, but that's where I'm at. So Garmin invented it practically, if you will, so I'd kind of go there, but you don't need it. You don't have to have it to be successful. Kevin, hello, Steve. I recently saw your boat at the Muskie Shop. I like your butt pedestal seat. Can you please? And also, okay, he's asking about the caddy I have under the thing, Jay. It's a wrecking rack. So what you saw under my seat is the original design for the underboss. And so the way that happened, I called Josh at Wrecking Rack, didn't really know him. I said, hey, buddy, I have an idea for something. So I designed that style of thing, which turned into the underboss. And so that actually
he custom makes stuff for multiple people I know.
Mm-hmm.
Specific you know, accommodations for their boat, you know,
and he would
the stuff he did with Jim's boat at the Muskie shop.
And he was built. I mean, I don't care if you have the same one. So if you like that, get contact Wreck and Wreck and say, I saw Steve's underboss, which is not the underboss that's for sale. Right. Because mine's a little bit different. What I have on mine is just a ridiculous area for tools. Unlike Steve Herbeck, who just has wrap with split ring pliers, I have two sets of Nipex. I have two sets of jaw spreaders. I have Phillips head screwdrivers of all sizes. I've got two sets of split ring pliers, blah, 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 blah. But I have all these tools right under there. A bunch of scissors, you know.
Scissors, you know.
Crap. Smitty file, all that.
But they come in handy every day. Yeah.
So I have
one of them.
All those tools standing up right in that area. And so it's just got that a little box area on front of that box, just the way I wanted it. And that's where the underboss came from. And then Josh kind of went, well, that's kind of a weird design because what I did was weird for most people, right? It's a little over the top. Most guys are just going to have the, you know, they got their split rings in their file and all that stuff. So we backed it down. But yeah, if you like that, get a hold of that. As far as the seat, that is from Academy Sports and it's like $40. It's called a lean post seat, I think. So it's custom from Academy for $40. I think there's Salsaritas is right next to it, Jay. That's why I went there and got that one.
I just wanted
to understand.
Smitty file shaped like a knife. But yeah, that's nothing too crazy. Anyway, Jay, huh?
Good one. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
You going to ask me to say goodnight?
No, I was just going to say everything can't be custom. Yeah. you got the frickin', I got the cheap seats, Jay. It's like you at a Striper concert up in the
Okay. Yeah, I understand, Steve.
Anyway, what do you do? So, oh my goodness, it is time because I got to get back on this boat and keep on rocking. Say it, Jay Bird.
Night, guys. Thank you.
Later.
If you're having bad problems, I feel bad for your son. I got 99 problems, but a ski ain't one. 5 days, blue sky, high pressure, yo. Wind so light, ain't got no flow. Critics are saying my hold is low, but I was born in the hood, so the story goes. My Makota's stuck, it really blows. The hummingbird flashes with a gentle glow. Fable big game with the big old hole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Blades clanging loud from the other boat. Ripping rubber too big cause they think they know. Cut me off hard cause I'm fishing slow. Big motor just quit, now I gotta get my toe. I don't know what you think you take me as, or understand the intelligence that Jaybird has. From rags to riches, baby, I'm not dumb. I got 99 problems but a ski ain't one. Hit me. I got 99 problems but a ski ain't one. You're having bad problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems but a ski ain't one. Hit me.